We're back with another episode of Profitable Audience. Since it is towards the end of the year, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about future planning, what our goals are for 2022.
I'm not as excited about this as I normally am about planning.
I don't usually do any planning, so this is going to be all you, I think, Tony.
That's not true. You do planning.
I do planning. I don't set goals, really.
Right, which... Just give us your brief reasoning of why you don't set goals.
Well, I can sum up in one sentence. Okay. Goals are stressful. And I don't need that in my life.
Okay. You say you don't set goals, but yet, especially with an e-commerce business, you have to make a certain amount of money to stay in business. So you have to have some standard.
Okay, the goal is not to shrink in size. How's that?
Okay, so your goal is to stay the same or growth?
Well, to grow at a modest rate.
I'm just
That's
curious.
Undefined. That's undefined.
An undefined modest rate.
Yeah, you know, like low double digits, high okay. single digits maybe.
Okay. I'm just curious. Do you have an industry average of growth for like an e-commerce store? Do you know what that is? I don't know.
There's no industry average. I mean, everyone grows differently. We used to grow like crazy fast in the very beginning, right? Because it's easier to grow when you're smaller.
Right.
It's easier to grow also when both partners are on the same page.
Right.
So, I mean, realistically, when Jen and I had that talk, it's because it was just very stressful. Whenever you grow fast, you don't have like warehouse space, you don't have employees, and it's just miserable.
Yeah.
Kind of like right now, we're down one employee during the holidays, and it's our typical holiday load, and it's pretty miserable because we're down one person.
Yeah.
Now imagine growing like 7x due to some crazy event, and then you only have the same number of employees. You can't just hire 7x the amount of people in a short period of time.
Right. Well, and if you do, you end up with some hiring mistakes, and then it can snowball. So... Okay.
Oh, so back to your question about goals.
Yes.
We used to set goals a while ago. I think our goal was to grow at least like 30% every year. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of the year, we'd be like, okay, we're not there yet. What can we do to hit this goal? And then we work our butt off. We'd send a bunch of emails. And, you know, I just remember this one year. We actually hit the goal. And then we're like, oh, great. We hit the goal. What's next year's goal going to be? And we enjoyed it for maybe like a day. Like we went out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. And then it was very stressful during that time. And, you know, we're inflicting that on ourselves again for no reason. We don't even spend any money. I'm really cheap. I don't buy anything.
Okay. So, I mean, you're at a really different place in your business than most people are. So try to hearken back to the days when you actually needed to make money.
But here's the thing. I never needed to make money. Because we always had contingency plans.
Okay.
Right? Like, for example, if Bumblebee totally failed. Let's say it totally failed.
Yeah.
Jen would just go back to work. Or we could just live on my salary alone.
Right.
Like, I never structured the business in such a way where, like, I needed any of my businesses to work.
More importantly, you never structured your lifestyle so that you needed the businesses.
Correct. Because I don't need that kind of stress.
I think that's actually a more important point. Is that you've never had a lifestyle that required your businesses to grow at a certain pace.
That's correct. I mean, you know me, maybe the audience doesn't know me that well, but we were just talking about this just the other week. Like, I like to see a schedule that has nothing in it.
Right.
And I don't ever like to feel like I need to do anything.
Right.
Money included. So... I mean, I've been there before, and it just doesn't feel good.
Okay.
But and it's not sustainable.
Yeah. Right. Let's just agree that you're not the typical person in the world or the typical person listening to this.
Sure. Well, neither are you. What's your point?
I do need to work.
I need to work too, right? I mean,
can't send somebody back to work. I can only send myself back to work.
Well, no, that's what I meant. Well, I could have gone back to work. I can go back to work right now. In fact, I've even considered going back to work.
Right. But here's the difference, too. You're an engineer. I have a degree in political science. Where am I going to go to work? Chili's?
You have the gift of gab and marketing, which is arguably more valuable.
Probably. Well, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I wish, this is usually when I'm up in the middle of the night overthinking something or remembering that I was supposed to send 60 knives to school with my kid for a cookie frosting party that I've forgotten and trying to figure out which store opens the earliest so I can go buy them. I often think to myself, I wish I would have gotten a degree or a trade, doesn't have to be a four-year degree, in a skill that would allow me to just, if I needed to, slide right back in to something like nursing or like cosmetology, something like that, where you could just basically pick up where, I mean, obviously you have to be up to date on what's happening like in that field, but, you know, not a job that requires you to sort of finesse your way into a position.
Interesting. I mean, I think like if all of your businesses went to crap,
yeah,
you would easily get a job at any of the hundreds of companies that we've talked with over the years.
Probably.
No problem.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And same with me. Like, yeah. not that I would. I'd probably go back into engineering. But
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think because I don't have a degree in that, sometimes I get, it's just in my own head, right? It's just me overthinking.
I mean, this is a completely different podcast episode, but do you think a degree even matters anymore?
No, but we need to do that podcast.
Yeah, we'll do that one later. Yeah. And I'm going to have my kids not listen to that one.
Yeah. or your mother. Or any, right, so of your, back to, any of your Asian friends.
So back to goals.
Yes.
So that's my opinion on goals. I do planning. Like, so yes. I'll tell you what I have planned for next year. I think next year is going to be the year of TikTok for Bumblebee Linens.
Okay.
And whatever it does, it does. I mean.
Okay. So that, let's start with that. So you're okay. Saying that next year is the year of TikTok for Bumblebee. Is there no metric or standard? Like, how do you decide what you're going to do if you have no goal? Or is it just because you're an intrinsically hardworking person? And so if you say, I'm doing TikTok next year, you're going to consistently make a TikTok a week for 52 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with this, and I'm saying this publicly, you know, just to make sure it happens, hopefully. That didn't sound like a very strong statement. Because I have to get Jen on board.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So assuming I can get Jen on board, I just want to do, you know, two, maybe three TikToks a week. Mm-hmm. And all I'm going to do is just do research on what other e-commerce companies are doing that are working. And I'm just going to put those out. And I'm sure good things will happen.
Yeah. And plus her dancing skills are far better than yours.
They are. They are. She's prettier to look at too, which helps.
Yeah. See, you got a lot going for you with that one. So
my goal is to like maybe just script them out and hopefully, you know, once things catch on, if they do catch on, like she'll be more excited to do them.
Yeah.
Right now she's not excited at all.
Well, I will say it's often hard to stay excited. Actually, we were just talking to a student in our class about this last week. It's often hard to continue to keep at something when you feel like you're not being successful. And I think for you, what has helped you is that for you, it's not necessarily about numbers, it's more about consistency and progress, that you're getting up and you're doing it. If you said, I'm going to make two TikToks a week or one YouTube video a week, whatever it is, that you're getting up and doing that every single week because you truly believe, I think this is like a core, not a core belief for you, but a central belief that if you stay consistent, you will eventually see results and success.
I mean, there's more to that statement. Like you can be consistent, that's certainly a component of it. But if things aren't working, you have to change also.
Okay.
Right? So consistency and then like, you know, subtle changes in testing, really. I would say those are the two components.
Okay. So Bumblebee is to make some TikToks.
Some TikToks and just, you know, build an audience there and just see where it goes. Like I don't have any goal of like 100,000 subscribers in a year or anything like that.
Okay. Getting banned, getting your account banned, flagged.
Getting banned, yeah.
Okay, what about for My Wife Quit?
For My Wife Quit? That's a good question, actually. I haven't really thought about My Wife Quit just because I've been just head down. But there's some things that I haven't announced yet, which I can't really announce yet, I guess. But I'm just going to keep on trucking with that. I don't think I have any new projects planned with My Wife Quit.
Okay. And what about your course, Profitable Online Store?
The course is, I mean, it's going to stay the course.
Mm-hmm. Really. Any big changes coming up? Anything different?
Yeah. I mean, I do want to reorganize it because there's just so much content in there now. It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like 500 plus videos that need to be organized in a much better way than it is now. I mean, I've tried to already.
Yeah.
But even those organized lists are getting a little out of control, mainly just because there's so much to e-commerce. Like if you think about what it takes to run a store,
yeah,
there's just so much stuff you can do, you can try, and it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
All right. So enough about me.
Well, no, we're not done with all your stuff.
Oh, we're not done with me yet.
We've got a little bit more. Okay. So the other thing that I know you're like, why do we have to talk about me? Okay. So I'll save the two that we work on together for last. Typically, every year, you have one new thing that you start with. I think it's usually my wife quit. You did YouTube. You did TikTok. Is Twitter your new thing? Is that the thing you're going to still be focusing on? Or is it something that you can't talk about right now, which I think it might be? Where do you stand with the one new thing a year that you typically adopt?
So I think I'm at the point now where I've personally taken on pretty much what I can handle, I think, want to handle.
Yeah.
Without sacrificing like my afternoons.
Yeah.
So Twitter, it's going to keep going on for sure.
Yeah.
Whether I do anything groundbreaking there or different, probably not.
Yeah.
It's really just being on all the different platforms. Like I've had people find, you know, it's just all about being everywhere.
Yeah.
In some way. Thank God Instagram made their reels up to 60 seconds now. So I can actually repurpose my TikToks onto Instagram.
Yeah.
Which helps. So really it's just about taking those, like I've got a ton of content now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean a ton, like no one's ever going to read it all. So I may as well just put it out on all the different platforms. Just see what happens.
No one is ever going to read everything that you have to say. Nobody.
Nobody. Seriously. Nobody. There's just too much stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Now I'll let you off the hook. Okay. Seller Summit. So I'm pretty excited that we're back in person next year.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like the closer, it's not close. It's still 6 months away. It feels like it's getting real. It's been so abstract over the past 2 years because of everything that's gone on. But now, we're starting to talk to our sponsors again. Not that we haven't been talking to them, but like stuff's starting to get in the planning stages. People are buying tickets. It's getting real. So that is very exciting to me to be back together. But then there's this part of me, I don't think everybody knows this, or maybe they do, but we're like a mom and pop conference.
Yes.
I've been trying to declutter my house. And I mean, I think you're going to come see me in a couple months.
So hopefully.
You're going to laugh when you hear me say that I'm decluttering because I don't have a lot, but I've been trying to declutter my closet, and I have a really large walk-in closet, but all the upper shelves, I have like this high shelf at the top, right? It's like maybe a foot tall or maybe 18 inches tall. And everything on that top shelf is Seller Summit. Like supplies.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Just in a closet?
Yeah, it's in my bedroom closet. There's boxes labeled Seller Summit, Seller Summit, Seller Summit. So anyway, I was trying to organize the closet the other day to make some extra space. And I was like, what are all these boxes up here? And then I was like, oh, they're moleskins and microphone parts and like just random like conference Sharpies and, all the stuff that all these little things that you need for an event, right, is all with me. We're not some big production company that's renting a bunch of supplies. So anyway, I saw all that last week and I just was like, I should probably open those boxes and see what's in them. Because we haven't opened them since, 2019?
Yeah, man, it's been forever.
Yeah, so, but just like seeing that, starting to think about it, I was getting excited. And it's interesting with Seller Summit, we don't really set a lot of goals for Seller Summit either, outside of selling out the tickets.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. It's a lot of work. So,
yeah.
Well, why would you have, like, if you didn't have me, what would be some of your goals with it then?
If I didn't have you. Yeah. I could do whatever I wanted.
If you could do whatever you wanted.
I already do. Wait.
That's true. Yeah.
To me,
what are goals with the conference? You either scale it or you keep it nice and small and intimate.
I mean, I feel like, and that's part of, I think that's one of my biggest problems is that I don't have a lot of really strong opinions on certain things. Like if you said to me, I never want Seller Summit to be more than 100 people and I want to have this tiny little event, I would have been like, as long as it's not costing me money, I would probably be on board with that. And if you said to me, I want to make Seller Summit a 5,000 person event, I would probably be okay with that too. So, you know, I don't have a lot of, I personally like the smaller events, but I know that I'm capable of running a big event. So, right. And I know that if we had a bigger event, we would have resources to have a big event. You know what I mean? So it's not as if I feel like there's a, I have a pull one way or the other. I think for me with Seller Summit, the goals that I always think about is I want people to walk away from Seller Summit and be able to transform something in their business. So to me, the goal is never about money, although I want it to make money. The amount isn't as important as the results that people get from attending. So if, like for me, I feel like we didn't hit a goal when we have a speaker that fails to deliver. And we haven't had very many of those. We've most of, I would say 99% of the time, we've had home run speakers. Every once in a while, there's one that just doesn't quite do what we think is going to happen. And that's okay. But to me, that's where I see a failure or a goal not being reached, is if I feel like people are not learning the most that they can out of the event. And on top of that, that our speakers aren't feeling like there was a benefit to them, you know, because we have people come and give up their time to speak. And so, and you know, a speaker has many reasons for speaking, maybe because they have a business that they want to people to know about, maybe because they want to promote that themselves as a thought leader in the space. Maybe they, some of our speakers just have really good business ideas and we want them to share them, right? Like Dana John Zemus. She's really good at certain things. So there's no gain for her to come speak at our events. You know, she has no business that gets promoted at Seller Summit. But I want our speakers to feel like it was a win for them. One of the ways that we've done that is to have that speaker mastermind at the end. So to me, if the master, and you know, I think our speaker masterminds have been really good, but I'm always nervous that if they're not good, then to me that we didn't meet the goal there. If I feel like our speakers didn't get a takeaway from that, then that goal isn't met for me.
You know, it's funny. I make a lot of decisions for selfish reasons. Like I go to I go to an event and I don't want it to be huge. I want to go to an event where I know everybody or can know everybody.
Yeah.
I also want to go to an event where not all the speakers just give their talks and leave. They actually want to hang out. So I actually don't invite any speaker that I don't know personally or actually want to hang out with. Yeah. I mean, that's actually one of the criteria. And so I don't think anyone who speaks for us, very low probability of them not enjoying themselves.
Right.
Because we're all friends and it's a small community.
Yeah.
Right. Which was my goal for it. Like I actually don't like large events. So if you came up to me and said you wanted to do a 5,000 person event, I would be like, okay, well, can we just break that down maybe into like 50, 100 person events?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I'm not like, you and I both don't love large events, but if we felt like, and I can't imagine this happening, but if you and I decided that, okay, we see a need or we see this gap that we can fill and it's something we both have the time and bandwidth for, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I think you and I's personalities lend itself to these small, you know,
yeah.
I mean, 200 person event.
I mean, making it bigger is the right way to make
grow,
money.
Make money.
Yeah. I mean, from a money perspective, oh yeah. I mean, doing the big events is the way to go. Yeah. But I don't make decisions for selfish reasons. Like I have to want to go to my own event, right?
Yeah. So, if we don't want to come to our own event, we're in trouble. And then the final goal that I think we both have for Seller Summit is that we want our sponsors to be happy.
Yes.
I think we've done I feel like I'm just patting ourselves on the back and I'm really not, but I feel like we have a lot of returning sponsors every year. And the only reason why we do that is because they feel like the money they paid us, which they do pay to be there, is worth the return that they got from interacting with our attendees. And so to me, I want the sponsors to feel like it's a good business decision for their business, that they feel accepted and I don't want to say popular is not the right word, but you know, we want people to go talk to them at the event. And sometimes that's hard because sometimes not all, this is the other thing, not all companies that work with e-commerce brands have like a booth crew, right? A lot of times it's the owner or, you know, the assistant. And you know, there's definitely an art to working a booth. We don't really have booths, we have tables. But, you know, if you're not really outgoing type A, if you're really introverted, it's a lot harder to have a successful booth in an event. So it's my goal to make sure that if we have people like that, and we've had people like that before. And then you've got people like Jeff Cohen, right, who's doing magic tricks and, you know, like everybody
Jeff Cohen left Seller Labs. Did you know that?
I thought he did. I wasn't 100% sure. Yeah. But you have people like him, you know, or the, I think it was 1 year, someone had like a case of beer at their, I don't know, like people, you know, just, there's people there that like they live for that sort of interaction with people. So just organically, people are going to come to the booth and hang out. So I want to make sure that when we have people at Seller Summit as sponsors who aren't super, super outgoing, that we, you and I, go over the top to make sure that people can connect with them, because it's not necessarily in their wheelhouse to do that well.
Yeah. I mean, I actually feel guilty if I were to take sponsors' money and didn't deliver.
Yeah.
I always ask them, actually, how many sales do you need to make?
Yeah.
To make it worthwhile, or like, what's your goal? And in the event that we don't meet that goal, I can make up for it with any of the other properties that I have, right?
Yeah.
Podcast, YouTube, and whatnot. Kind of like my philosophy for sponsorships is it's not just a one event thing. Like,
right.
You mentioned that they've come back every year. It's because I promote them outside of the event too. Like, I'm on board with that tool, which is why we're super anal about who we actually take on as sponsors. Like, I have to be able to promote it and really believe that the tool is going to be beneficial to the people coming.
So I think for Seller Summit, our goals are not necessarily monetary. The goals are how the different groups of people who attend our event benefit from the event.
Yeah. I mean, for 2022, it's really just getting the event back again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the main goal, I would say.
Well, and I think too, it's kind of strange, but, and of course the event's in Florida, and Florida doesn't have a lot of protocols right now. But also, I think the other factor that we've never had to deal with, and I have zero experience in, and you have zero experience in, is all the health concerns and making people feel comfortable in that way. And so those are probably some decisions that we have to make as well in regards to like what we're going to have in place for people. And who knows what it's going to be like in 6 months too.
Yeah, I'm hoping like it'll be greatly mitigated in 6 months. Of course, yes. I said that last year too.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to go there actually.
Yeah. But I think that's another thing that is on our plate, that really on my plate, but you know, that I have zero experience in. So I'm going to have to become more knowledgeable in that area. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody really has any experience.
That's true.
Nobody had any experience in that. So it's not like I'm alone in this, but yeah. That's a whole new bucket of worms that we got to deal with.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you got for your stuff? We've been talking about our stuff or my stuff.
Yes. Okay.
What's up with you?
What's up with me?
Yeah.
I think I say this every year. I got to figure out what I'm doing with my e-commerce business. I don't think I've actually talked to you about this in a while, but I would like to sell something else.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just at here. You know what it is? I'm definitely not lazy. I'm not lazy. I was gonna say I'm just lazy. I'm not. I don't want to do the work of figuring out what to sell. Like, if someone came to me and said you should sell XYZ, and they had some data behind it, right? Not just like a random, oh, I saw this on the internet, it looked fun. I would have a store set up tomorrow, right? I'd have my Shopify site going, and you know, I'd be registering my Amazon, whatever. You know what I mean? But I just have been completely unmotivated to do the product research side of it. And I think it's because I didn't do the product research side of it before I went into e-commerce with an idea. So I never had to do that whole process that a lot of people go through, where they want to get into e-commerce, but they don't exactly know what to sell. So they have to do all that product research side of things. Mm-hmm. And that's never been appealing to me. And in fact, sometimes when I've watched, well, we've had sessions on this at Seller Summit. I've watched lessons in your course. I see people email. So I'm in your email, right? Your help desk. And occasionally, because profitable audience and profitable online store, in my view, I don't know how it looks on your side, but like, are stacked on top of each other. So occasionally, if I'm on my phone or if I'm like on my laptop, I'll click on one of like your other help emails because they look almost identical, right, with the names.
You're more than welcome to answer those,
by the way. I know. I didn't want to tell you this because you're going to be like, good, if you could answer about 20% a day, that'd be perfect. But you get so many niche research questions.
That's correct.
It's overwhelming.
You know what's funny is a lot of people, everything that's being sold is a commodity anyways. It's really just how you market it. And that's why I spent like literally 2 months creating a whole new set of videos on how to advertise, how to create creative that converts.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, for you, just sell something that you're interested in, and I'm sure you'll be able to sell it.
Well, and that's the thing, is that I would like to sell something, because I know that I have no problem getting on video, making TikToks, making reels, doing live video on a product or a suite of products that I care about. I just know that I cannot do that about a product that I don't care about. Like, I could, but it's not what, like, it's kind of like you, like, if it's not going to make me happy, I don't want to do it. But so to me, I have to find something that I can talk about without having to be phony. And so that's been my hang up.
So for you, it'd be either fitness or DIY.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's one thing that it's kind of one of those back burner things but I feel like I need to get moving on it if I want to do it. So that's one of the things I've been thinking about. Let's see. So my website is a hot mess right now. Just a hot, hot mess.
Again?
I've been having issues with it going down. And this has been like recurring for probably a month now. And so I really need, and this is something that I just haven't set aside the time to do, but I need to do one of my lock myself in my office for a week and just do nothing but that for a week and not come up for air. And when I've done that before, I've fixed everything. I've solved all the problems. I've gotten it to where with any of the things that I've done. You know, I did this with e-commerce. I've done it with other projects. I did it with my email client a couple weeks ago. I basically did nothing but like, and so now like with my e-commerce client, like I've literally like I've caught up to like the middle of January at this point because I just spent almost a solid week doing nothing but that. So, and that's just how I work best, because what happens is, and you know this too, when I'm working on Happy Housewife, that is not like anything else that I'm doing as far as like what I'm writing about, what I'm talking about, things like that. So I need to stay totally in that zone to be able to get things where I want it. The other thing that I have with that is I have all these projects that I've done and documented that aren't published.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've been ripping my house apart for the past 4 months.
Oh, so, I'm sure you've been taking lots of photos,
yes,
right?
Yes, so I have photo and video and all that stuff. So anyway, there's just a lot of loose ends with that I need to lock myself away, work on it, and then I need to get on a very consistent schedule. So that is a goal for me, is to come up with a consistent weekly schedule where I can get all the stuff that I have to do done, because unlike you, I don't have afternoons free, and I don't
well I technically don't either. I'm driving entire afternoon.
Yeah, me too. Me what? Too.
Oh yeah, do you have 2 hours of volleyball lessons?
Here's what I after, need yeah. Submit your application. I need a Manny. I need someone to help with my kids, keep my house organized, make food for my children, go to the store for me. Yeah, I need a Manny. That's what I'm looking for. No, I need to come up with a consistent schedule. And I know you have a decent schedule where you write your articles on Sunday.
That's got to change now, unfortunately.
Yes,
you do. My daughter's basketball games are now on Sunday morning.
Uh-oh.
I know. I know.
But you've had a consistent schedule.
Yes.
And so I need to come up with something similar. I don't work that well that way, but I realize that the way that I do work isn't working. So I need to switch it around. I need to like do a radical change on my schedule, because right now I find myself working when I don't want to work. And for me, that means like I don't mind working on the weekends if I have nothing to do. If I have nothing going on, I'm happy to work 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday. Especially if my kids, like a lot of times none of my kids will be home because they'll be at friends' houses or at party, you know, birthday parties and stuff like that. And so I'm home alone anyway. My house is pretty, like, there's not much, like, unless I'm working on a big reno project, like there's not a lot that I could just be doing. So I don't mind sitting, but what I don't like is when I do have stuff to do, or like my kids, you know, my daughter cheerleads. So like when the spring comes and we have cheerleading competitions, like I don't want to be up till midnight on Friday trying to finish something because I'm going to be gone all day Saturday and Sunday at a cheer competition.
Right.
So that's probably my main goal for 2022, is figuring out some sort of work schedule where I can fill all these buckets in a way that I don't get burnout. Because I do work a lot.
I mean, you had a ton of stuff happen this year and the year before. So I imagine it's going to die down greatly in 2022.
I already feel like I feel like the last month or two, I sort of see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm still kind of catching up on things. You know, like one of the things that's crazy, we've talked about this offline, like I changed my last name. There's so much work involved with changing your name. It's just,
I believe it.
It's just, and it's not just like, it's stupid stuff too. Like, I wanted to change my last name on my Hilton rewards, right? I mean, it's like dumb. And they want like a photo ID and a, you know, a legal document. It's like, it's Hilton. Like, what? Do you think I don't know. It's, but like most people, it's just doing that alone just takes, it sucks up your day, right? I had to switch healthcare. Well, that, you know, that took me forever over the summer. Like, I spent far too much time online, on the phone, things like that. So like a lot of that stuff is dying down and that will be helpful. But I still need to come up with some sort of schedule where I can consistently get stuff done because stuff will fall through the cracks. You know that.
Yeah. I mean, I think next year is going to be much easier for you.
Yeah.
I agree. For sure. Yeah.
But still submit your application. Feel free to email Steve. He'll vet you first.
All right. Well, let's talk about what else is it? Profitable audience. Let's
talk
about
profitable audience. I figure we do that one last because that one's, okay. I think, going to be some changes.
There will be some changes because we need to build an audience on that outside of the podcast and my audience, which is what we've relied on for like the last year and a half or a couple of years, I guess.
Yeah.
So what's the plan? I actually didn't have anything coming on this.
I don't think either of us have. I think the problem is we both had conversations of we need to change something, but we're not. So here's the thing. I don't think we need to change what we're doing as far as the content.
No, the course is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all on the marketing side.
Right.
So the one thing that we have found works well for us is doing the webinars.
Yes.
That's the way we gain most of our customers for the course is doing the webinars. But the profitable audience email list outside of your list is pretty small. It's like, I think I just checked the other day. It was like 1,300 people. So it's not huge. And that comes from the mini course. Most of that is from people that signed up on the mini course. And then they get dumped into the marketing list, I guess. So, you know, I guess the goal would be to grow that list so that we're marketing to possibly a different group of people.
You know, what I just realized is we don't even talk about that as a call to action, do we? We do on the podcast, right? But only at the end.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I because we're doing this podcast, but the podcast actually is not good for growing an audience. It's good at developing an audience.
Right.
So I would say to grow, we would either need to do TikTok or YouTube, probably those two, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the good thing is the podcast is steadily growing.
Right.
Which is a positive. So I feel like at least the content is resonating with people. So we have to basically pick a channel, TikTok or YouTube, which I agree with you. We've tried YouTube.
We didn't really try. We didn't publish anything. We tried recording a few things.
Because it was terrible. Like, it was we were saving our own butts by not publishing anything.
I didn't think it was terrible. I mean, in retrospect, I wonder if we had just published, what would have happened? I mean, they weren't horrible. They just...
So if you guys... Most of you guys know, we don't live near each other. We live as far apart as you can basically be in the States.
Yep.
So we were filming YouTube videos where we were a split screen. And what's funny is that you and I get along weirdly well. Like, people joke when they see us in person that we're like a comedy duo or, you know, we're like brother and sister, like whatever. Like, we riff off each other. We get along. It's never awkward. But for some reason, when we made those YouTube videos, it just felt so staged. And it just, the normal like back and forth that we have with each other was not there, I think.
You know why? It's because YouTube has to be compressed into like 10 minutes, let's say. Mm-hmm. Whereas a podcast, you can just say whatever the heck you want for however long it takes.
Yeah.
Right. And the fact that you're not next to me either.
Yeah.
It's just weird. So we're trying to get this information out and we have to be kind of concise. Like, we can't go off on tangents.
Yeah. Which is usually where we're best, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then so that's, yeah. I mean, I guess we could try it. I mean, we never actually even published anything, but
yeah.
I'm wondering if TikTok is probably the way to go because that's just quick, right? Just pick up your phone and no editing required.
Yeah. Talked about too, like meeting up, you know, in the middle. One of our friends has actually offered us their studio to record and, you know, meeting in the middle and, you know, trying to record 20 videos and then, you know, doing that a couple times a year. The problem is that is not your... I can sit there and make 20 videos. You cannot.
I can't. Yeah. I lose steam after like a couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I could do this for like 15 hours and I would still be the same energy level.
Filming 52 videos though in one sitting, that's like crazy talk.
I wouldn't do 52, but I think I could do 20, no problem.
Like when we filmed 5-minute pitch, it was like 8 to 10 hour shooting days.
Yeah.
By the end, I was like, all right, just tell me what you're selling.
Yeah. I don't even care. Denied.
I don't care anymore. Yeah.
But anyway, so we've kind of talked about ways to work around that. But I think you're right. TikTok might be the way to go to get content out there. I think if we're going to do TikTok, we need to just, you know, put our feet down and do it and come up with a plan. I think we need to have a plan. I don't think we can just pick up our phone and do TikToks as far as like haphazardly. I think we need to get topics written. Like we need to have an outline like we did for the course.
That sounds like planning.
It does. And I know you don't like that. that puts little marks on your calendar. But I think in order to be consistent, what I don't like is not quite knowing what's coming. And so for me, my personality type is if I don't know, then I'm just like, whatever, I'm not doing it. Like, so I need to have some plan. And, you know, you probably noticed that with the course. Once we came up with an outline, I could make videos all day long. I just needed to know what to make videos about, and I'm not great at that on the fly.
Well, technically, we don't have an outline anymore.
No. Now we just do what people complain to us about.
Whatever I happen to be working on, actually, is what I'll do a lecture about. Like this one that's coming up tomorrow, this is just something that I've been working on.
Yeah.
Like these last couple weeks, and it's relevant. So
yeah. We're still going to have a plan. Sorry.
We are. No, it'll make it quick. I'm just thinking to myself, like, if I'm doing TikTok for Bumblebee, though, that actually requires thought for me.
Yes.
Whereas the ones I do for my own channel, I just pick up the phone and just pump those out in 5 minutes. With Bumblebee, I have to take into consideration a lot of other factors, like, what we want to reveal about the business or what if I want Jen on, like, I have to be very careful about what she's going to say and that sort of thing. So I don't know if I'm looking forward to that, actually. We'll see. Yeah.
Just stick to the dancing. You can't go wrong.
Anything else that we haven't talked about yet? Is there anything else? Any goals for this podcast?
I'd like to see it just continue to grow.
Yeah.
You know, it gets a few more downloads every week, and I think that's all we can really hope
for. So I just want to clarify when I say no goals. I don't have any artificial monetary goals.
Yeah.
I do have effort goals.
Yeah.
Right? Like I want to put time into this amount of time. Anything that I can control.
Yeah.
I'll make goals for. But like you can't really control how quickly. Well, you can to a certain extent, but not exactly, right?
Yeah.
I control how good I feel about a project. How's that? Those are my goals. Like if I put my best effort into something and it doesn't go as planned, I'm okay with that. And I've said that to you millions of times. You're probably sick of it now. Put your best foot forward and whatever happens, happens. That's always my attitude.
I like to think that.
What do you mean?
I'm not okay if I put my best foot forward and it doesn't go well.
Well, then you just got to put another foot forward or
just put your second best foot forward and see what happens.
I mean, come on. Are you telling me that there's things that you've tried and you put your best foot forward on and you've never had like something not work out as well as you would like?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure I have. I can't think of anything right now, but I know there's things that haven't worked out.
Right. And it's not like a single point of effort, right? I mean, you put your best foot forward given the information that you have, but hopefully you have new information now and you can try it again.
Yeah, I just hate failure.
Well, sure. No one likes to fail.
Right. But my problem is, and a lot of people, I'm not unique in this in any way. I have a very hard time not taking failure as a personal fault. So
I guess it all depends on how you define it also, right? So let's take your e-commerce company. Let's say you only made, I don't know, $10,000 in the first year. Would that have been a failure?
Probably.
Really?
To me.
Okay.
I don't think that's, but this is what's dumb about it, is if I meet somebody and they tell me they started an e-commerce store and they made $10,000, I would be genuinely very excited for them and think that they were doing a great job.
Okay, so that just means you have much higher standards for yourself?
I have unrealistic expectations for myself.
I always go in with everything with low expectations. Maybe that's like a self-defense mechanism, actually, right?
Yeah.
That way, it's just my way of of staying happy.
No, I think that's the way to be. And it's not even like I was raised by parents who were, I mean, I don't think they even looked at my report card in high school. Like, it wasn't like I was pushed to do a lot. Like, I was not raised by Asian parents, you know. I don't know where it comes from, but it's definitely for me, like personally. And it's funny because I'm not like this with other people. It's truly just something about myself. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned for the next episode where we dissect
Tony's childhood, figure out why she has such strong feelings of inadequacy.
Well. Yeah, but I think that's all that's going on for next year. Next year for me is probably just going to be a chill year. I got actually a lot of stuff going on, which I haven't really mentioned here, but my kid's going into high school. I think we're going to have to start the college prep cycle. There's a lot of things outside of businesses that are going to be on my mind also.
Yeah.
So, and for you, hopefully it'll be a chill year. Like you need a chill year.
I do.
I think next year will be chill for you.
You know, one of my goals next year is to hopefully, and this is something totally out of my control, is to travel a lot more. And I have kids at home, so it's not like I can just pick up and go. But, you know, there's a couple reasons why I wanted to work for myself. And one of them was so that I could be at my kids' things, that I wasn't, you know, if they had to get picked up from school in the middle of the day, you know, 9 times out of 10, I can do that, that I'm available to go to their events and things like that. And then I didn't want to pay for daycare. But then the other reason that I really wanted to do this is because I love to travel. I love to go to different places. I travel with my kids. I travel without my kids. I've gone with friends. And the nice thing is that I can take my laptop and pretty much work. I don't have to take off work to travel. I can, you know, work 2 days while I'm gone and then have 2 days of total not working. And so my goal next year is to travel a lot more. And just because I feel like, I don't know, I'm not old, but I feel like, you know, I want to start doing these things. I feel like for many years I didn't because I was trying to keep peace with somebody else. And so now I have an opportunity to change that. And so I think so many people you hear when they get to be 70, they're like, oh, I really wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have spent more time. And I don't want to be 70 years old thinking that. I want to just do stuff.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.